This is the WPFW LSV Finance Committee meeting for January 8th, 2024. Happy New Year. I am Kamal Harris, the chair of the committee, treasurer of the LSV. And our agenda for this evening, we will convene our meeting. We'll hear a financial report from our general manager, Jerry Paris. We'll review the December bank transactions and the list of outstanding payables. We'll try and give an update on the FY24 budget. We'll also try and set some FY24 financial goals, and I'll get into that a little bit more as we get closer to that point. We'll have questions, and then we'll adjourn. Is everybody okay with the meeting agenda as presented? Any additions, subtractions, modifications? All right.
That's a lot of territory, actually. So,
hearing none? Yeah, no, it typically is here. Hearing none, I will open the floor to our general manager, Jerry Paris. Jerry is on. So, Jerry, would you kindly give our committee a quick December review of the financial position of the organization?
Okay. Kamal, I think you have the same document that I have that Annette sent out to us. Something that she had to hurriedly prepare because she's under the weather today, but she managed to get a report out that shows what our position is as of this moment, if you will, and showing what our balances were and what they are, showing an ending, that's curious how it's worded, but it's a beginning balance in December of $30,000. But as we completed this end of year drive, the totals that we got into our Truist bank account amounted to just over $113,000. Now, out of that, we've had to make some immediate payments, taking care of some major bills, taking care of a healthcare payment, and a payroll payment, leaving us with, hold on, I got to get closer to my screen, a balance today of $78,000. So we're still parsing out payments, if you will. We prioritize healthcare and payroll, of course, and we've got to do our regular operational costs, the highest priority being our rents for the office space on K Street, 1990 K Street, and our tower rent also. We've made two tower payments, but that gets us to December. So in terms of the payments that we have to make for our tower rent, we've got to take care of December and January so that we're completely current. Office rent is pretty much the same thing. We're not in any default positions right now, but we have to be mindful of trying to make payments so that we don't incur late fees and not falling into any type of default status. So we are planning for the next job.
Hold on 1 second, Jerry. I'm sorry. There's a reaction. Miyuki, is that a reaction for a no? Are you making a no statement or? Actually, I've never seen that.
No, sorry. That was when you were asking if there were any questions. I'm sorry. I thought that was just when you were asking questions if there was any issue with the agenda. And I can erase it. Sorry about that.
Okay. I hadn't seen that emotion before. Thank you. All right. Go ahead, Jerry.
So we're still going to be in a deficit position when it comes to making all the payments that are immediately due as we approach the next pledge drive. In meeting with the staff today, we discussed holding off until February 11th, if we could, for the next drive and running it to, I believe it would be March the 2nd. We have to make sure that we can make it that far, but the estimate is that we can. And I will be meeting with Annette and Tataris tomorrow. We can see where we are in terms of the flow of payables.
Okay. So that's, go ahead.
The general picture. Go ahead, Kamal.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. I'll open the floor up, Jerry, for questions, and still have a few questions as well. I have one hand already. Miyuki, go ahead.
Hey, Jerry. Thank you for doing that. A couple of questions. The amount that I had calculated that we got was $125,000, so I don't understand that between that and you're stating $113,000. Because there's only about $3,000 this time in bill me pledges. Everything else was credit card. So with the total amount of money we have on Cash App, which I thought was cash money, and on the spreadsheet, it should have been at least $125,000 plus money that's been consistently coming in as checks since the end of the year, which I haven't had any sense of. Why the discrepancy in the total that you have in that?
Okay, because I'm giving you the rawest figure that Annette gave us for what's actually in the Truist account right now. And I agree, there's a lot that's not accounted for. There's a major donor, a donation that came in that's not accounted for. That's $1,500. I know that's not in there. And there's, like you said, checks that come in on a regular basis that I personally have taken over to Bank of America, because what's going on right now, it's important for this committee to understand that we are moving our accounts now. I've been doing it manually, moving, even though the report that Annette put out today says Truist account, those accounts are moving over to Bank of America. And I've been doing that almost on a daily basis. It gives Pacifica, I guess, Kamal, you might be able to speak to this better than I can, a kind of like a unified banking platform.
But Jerry,
they're looking to do.
But Jerry, I guess
Bank of America.
Yeah, I understand that. When Annette gave the report, why wouldn't she combine what's in Truist and Bank of America to be more accurate or closer to what's actually in the bank? You understand what I'm asking? Because it doesn't.
Yes, I do.
What you're saying is it doesn't add up to the figures that I've seen, and I just don't understand the discrepancy. Other than not reporting Bank of America, which wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, but I think that she put this together in a hurry and didn't even consider adding in the Cash App and the PayPals to this, because those are still inbound, as are all the checks. So not really a discrepancy. It's real-time reporting, which isn't really that accurate, but we're closing in.
Okay. Just again, because I was talking to Satari also, because when I said that, you know, I told the programmers that the next drive is about a month away, that we would that the whole thing of trying to hit the 200,000 so that we could just do away with the first week. When that wasn't possible, that we would look to see where we are financially to see when we'd have to go again. And in order to make that decision, don't you think we should have an accurate number of exactly where?
Yes.
Because it's not just a couple thousand dollars off. It's, you know, maybe a couple tens of thousands off. So if we could have that before you make that decision, that'd be very much appreciated.
And we will. It'll just take the next couple of days.
All right.
Nowhere near. We won't get anywhere near the 200,000. That was, you know.
No, I understand.
I don't
that.
Even want to call it.
Right. No, I understand that. I mean, once the phones went down, it was impossible for us to do that. But meanwhile, we did a respectable amount considering, you know, how we had to improvise. And your figure of 113 just doesn't match with the numbers that I was coming up with at the end of the drive.
And I get that. This 113 is a very, 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 very raw figure. And okay. It is by no means a sum total of what came in.
And I heard what you said, that Annette was sick or something. So if possible, again, when she's better, if we can get the, you know, the accurate number of how much money is available between Truist and Bank of America, that would be very helpful. I appreciate that.
We will have that for you. And it
won't
take but a couple of days.
All right. You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you, Miyuki. Any other questions?
No, sir.
Chat? Anybody else? Jerry, I have a couple of questions. Do we take the reporting that is distributed to the programmers based on what they've received from their shows or received during their programming on the fund drives, do we take that report and try and marry that or square it with what's coming to the bank? I think that's somewhat what Miyuki is driving at. Is that something that, you know, if Annette does or Natalia or anybody, do we take what they're showing us as programmers and use that as a proxy for what should be in the bank or vice versa? I mean, is there any of that going on, do you know?
I don't think so, because the breakdown of pledges at the show level is kind of downstream and derived from the total. So it's not really used. I see where you're going. It's not really used as a feedback loop. So the short answer is no.
Yeah, okay. We have one more hand. Eileen, go ahead.
Sorry. A number of people apparently had the wrong link and are sitting waiting somewhere else. So I'm sending them the right link. Here comes Julie. Just joined us. Now there's Minerva. And I think other people will be coming. That's all.
Good. Yeah, I bumped into Minerva at another link. We have to straight. I have to talk to Ellen, so I do apologize. We've got, I think, multiple finance committee links floating around, so we've got to try and get the site, KP, whatever, TX, the right link so everybody can go there and grab it. So I do apologize. It's been a second month in a row with a hiccup there. That's on me. So
Kamal, are you a member of the relocation committee also, who happens to have a meeting today also at the end at 7:30? So it's a slight conflict. Are you part of that committee?
No. Yeah, I am. That committee does not have a meeting today. I would have been in a serious conflict. Yeah, no, that next one for the relocation is next week, Wednesday. I think that's the 17th. Yeah. So.
I misread.
But. No worries. All right. So no. You don't know or no to the, you know, using what programmers receive to kind of square the bank balances. Do we feel like on the reporting from this afternoon that the telerep, I know that was an issue during the mini drive at the end of the year, that might, you know, be able to pay that, or do we have a plan to mitigate phone answering during the next drive starting on the 11th of
the
February?
As of today, we're targeting a payment to Telerep for the February drive. But we did pretty well without them, considering. But we don't have a metric, a way to really measure how we did against how we would have done had we used Telerep. We think that we caught most of the calls, most of the pledges. Not certain what we would use to gauge it. We will take a careful look at it as much as we can. Because we did have some people at the station, including myself. We had volunteers come into the station and man the phones. And the system at the station generally worked. We did have moments of overload. Excuse me, I got the rivals. That even Telerep experiences when we use them, because people have a tendency to pledge at the end of shows, at the top of the hour, and we get these flurries that come in. So we experienced that at the station and caught most of that. So,
gotcha. Are you on? Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, we're preparing to pay Telerep for February, depending upon what tallies look like in terms of how much money we may have lost without them.
Right. One more question. I see your hand, Miyuki. Are you familiar with, or does Annette prepare something that would indicate a cash flow? In other words, kind of taking what the current balance is, cash balance, all accounts, right? So whether it's Truist, Bank of America, whatever city and Cash App, kind of aggregating all of those balances, taking what you know to be outstanding, and then kind of, you know, ticking off what you know you can pay and then what you want to kind of keep in the account as a minimum balance, and just kind of showing a schedule of how things are going to be paid. Is that something that's done, you know, by you and your staff? Is that the national office, Markeisha, and her abilities? Or is it not done that way? Are you all just kind of, like, I'm trying to get a sense of how things are managed, right? You know, like, how do you determine what you're going to pay?
Well, at the national level, there are regular billing, if you will, that occurs, where Markeisha tells us what is due and when payroll is due, along with what the health insurance payment is, and central services payments also. All payroll matters have to go through Markeisha, through Pacifica. Local billing, rent, utilities, that stuff is managed by us, by Annette and myself. Okay. So that's the most basic breakdown of how we operate. It's important for Pacifica to handle the payroll matters, because there's all the issues of, you know, taxes, benefits, and all of that. All of that has to be computed at the national level. Locally, it's up to us to schedule payments, and it's to the point where we do it with enough regularity that we kind of have it in our heads. You know, we know that, you know, Bernstein, K Street rent is basically due first week of the month. Utilities, I believe, the 11th. Unfortunately, we find ourselves quite often in a scenario of robbing Peter to pay Paul, but this budget has always been very, 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 very snug. And like I said earlier, We end up always being in pledge drive, which is unfortunate. We end up always working on off-air fundraising, which needs to be scaled up, but it's difficult to scale up off-air fundraising with such a very, very small staff. And then with what's occurring in our community, because there are events that we were looking at doing in the near future, but some of the venues that we've dealt with in the past are themselves struggling. So things like, you know, the U Street Jam, which could bring in a couple of $1,000 to the station, is on hold as we look for another venue. We've got new development people on board that are doing work, and there are some ideas that I've heard, and I'm amenable to all of it. And you know, management will do everything they can to support and help in all off-air fundraising efforts. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, because of what happened with our I hate to even bring it up, our liability insurance issue, we can't do any type of fundraising efforts at the station. Mm-hmm. We don't have the insurance to cover an event like that at the station. But I think were we to do a fundraisers at other venues, that's built into the venues that we use. So we're looking at other venues to try to do some off-air fundraising.
You've got a couple hands. Yes, absolutely. We've got a couple hands, Jerry. Miyuki, I know you were up, but can you let me go to Lou, and then I'll come back to you since you had a shot at asking a question. So, Lou, what's your question?
Yes, I know we've had a traditional longstanding problem with fulfillment of people's pledges. I'd like to ask you, Jerry, what is the percentage of the fulfillment over time? The people that make pledges, is it 100% or is it a lot less? Is that still a problem? Thank you.
All I really have for you, Lou, is a generalized figure. I don't know if it's WPFW specific at all, but in general, I'm told that the follow-through is at 85% rate. So it's significantly less than 100%, but it's not horrible. And then also, I don't know that we have any way of measuring our follow-through locally. You can ask. And just from looking at accounts, perhaps we can derive what the actual fulfillment is here.
So that 15%...
In general, the figures.
Jerry, is that 15% figure of the total of the pledges? That's a considerable amount of money, is it not?
Yes, it is. But again, I have to look at that figure myself because, like I said, it's a generalized figure. It might be, for all I know, an industry standard in terms of fulfillment, or it could be a Pacifica-wide fulfillment rate. I've just been given this 85%. I don't know how it's calculated.
Well,
so it is substantial.
May I ask a follow-up question then? Is there any possibility that we could institute a follow-up that is from our end with these people? We have their contacts, I assume, email, phone number, whatever we have from them. Seems like we should not let that money, you know, fall through the crack.
We do have a loop back where we do reminders, and people have bill me And so we do that, but we don't solicit. There's our membership has been very specific about not being solicited. We do reminders. And one of the things that I personally feel that we need to work on is just simple thank yous. You know, there are people who have supported the station over the years and never received a thank you. It'd be a great investment. And plus, we should just do that.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Lou. Miyuki.
Julie's up. Do you want Julie to go first?
If you want, you can be the greatest in 2024 if you'd like.
I don't mind.
Julie, you have been given the mic. Go ahead.
Great, thank you. Happy New Year to everybody. I haven't already said that too. Hey, Jerry. My understanding is that from being on the National Finance Committee is that one of the reasons that we moved bank accounts so that they're all at one bank was to save money and save money in two ways. And one is by dealing with one bank, you know, we cut costs that way. What we used to have to do in terms of wiring funds, we no longer have to pay to wire funds because it's just a transfer from, say, the WPFW account to the payroll account, for example. So that was one way to save money. And then the second way to save money was, you know, really associated with the audits because, you know, with centralized or consolidating, centralized isn't quite the right word because every station still has its own bank account, but by consolidating them under the roof of one bank, it means that we're going to have a paper trail for everything. And so my question, that was a long-winded intro, but the question is, are you all submitting check requests to the national office when it comes time to pay bills like the rent, the tower rent, you know, whatever utilities, et cetera, those kind of routine bills that you were just talking about that, you know, when they come up, have you all gotten the habit of submitting check requests for those?
Yes, we have. It goes over to Markeisha now. And when Netta was on board, they actually had machinery. They had it's like a fax machine that went directly to them that we could put checks into so that they had copies of every transaction that we did. So, yes, we have been sending reports over to Markeisha almost religiously so they see what local payments we've been making, and they can track how we're doing here, particularly when it comes to defaults, because defaults can get expensive.
All right, thanks.
Okay. Miyuki.
Thank you. So, Jerry, you gave us a figure. Right now we have $78,000 in the bank. Is that prior to paying the rent or no?
That's afterwards.
That's after. So we're all caught up through January with the rent.
Oh, no. Well, wait a minute. Not to January. Hold on. Let me make sure. I'm moving around on my documents. I'll come back. Nah, it's not January rent. I think we're
November, December.
Office rent. November, December.
Okay, so then we still have $17,000. We also have the last time I looked, we owed this, the Telerep service about, it was like eight plus another, so about $15,000. Do we pay that in full in order to have them available to us in 4 weeks? Because yes, you all did a yeoman's job and answering phones on the weekends, but Monday through Friday and certainly late night wasn't covered at all. And that's where we would need a Telerep service, but we shouldn't have to pay them. We get charged by them by the call, correct?
Yeah, but that's on top of the flat fee, I believe.
Okay. So, but what I'm saying is important that we pay them so that we can have usage of them, because even if we're able to start training people this week or next week to be phone volunteers enough to have for a 3-week drive, we just pulled together something last minute for this last 1-week drive. But if we need 3 weekends plus more, right, but if we have 3 weekends, Jerry, we're going to need more people than we had last time, and we're going to need better coverage for further times, plus we'll need the telerep service. So in order to make a successful drive, it's really important that we pay them whatever it is that we need to pay them so that they'll be answering phones during the drive. And then I also wanted to address Lou's question a little bit. Lou, for this last drive, we got credit card pledges for the majority of our drive, except for what's coming in checks that I have no idea what that total is. And of that money that's come in, only 3%, of the $110 that we received on the spreadsheet, only about $3,000 or 2.7% is bill me money. This came out, most people use credit cards, so we got the bulk of the money that was supposed to be coming in. There was only one $1,000 pledge in that $3,000. The rest was like a couple, you know, $100 and 50 smaller pledges. So we got the bulk of the money that did come in during the drive because most people are using credit cards for us. Now, my understanding from Otis is sometimes the credit card doesn't go through, but that shouldn't be counted in the total, from my understanding. So we had a pretty good end of year drive in terms of percentage of money donated that we can keep. So I don't know if that helps you or not. And then the last thing is, Jerry, you mentioned that you have new people in development. Can I ask who the new people in development are and what they're doing?
Well, yourself, of course, and Craig Williams has stepped up. He's going to help us with major donors. And we've got some people volunteering that want to help out also.
And what are they doing?
So,
what are the volunteers doing? I'm a volunteer too. And so is Craig.
Yes, I got volunteers also looking for grant money.
So Esther and who else?
Outside of the station. It's my personal recruiting. They're up. I keep stepping on you.
All right,
go ahead.
Let's let Jerry answer the question, and then you can follow up if necessary. Go ahead, Jerry.
Now, these are some resources that I've been working on independently. Some people that say they can help the station out in terms of grant research, grant writing. Again, strictly volunteers. That I'll be putting in touch with you, Miki, and in touch with Satalia, and in touch with Vinny, because we need all the help that we can get.
Okay, thank you very much.
No new hires. An important thing to understand, because too many people are volunteering services and doing serious work that I cannot bring on new development hires. We can't afford it. We can barely afford, phone services. But we need as much help as we can get in terms of development.
All right, we'll take one more question and then we'll move forward in our agenda. I see Sabu's hand is up. Sabu, go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. This is some Jerry made a statement in regard to transferring funds to a new account, and you mentioned Bank of America. Is that the best we can do?
Yeah, that's a Pacifica question, Sabu.
Because Bank of America's attitude towards, historically, man, they are not the best, towards, minorities or small businesses. They have a bad track record to me.
They're one of those institutions that, unfortunately, that we put up with when they say too big to fail.
Okay.
But Pacifica has made a decision to bank with Bank of America because of how widespread their banking services are. I really can't speak for Pacifica.
I agree
with you, Sabu.
When you said that, light bulb, I said Bank of America, come on, that every year there's always some scandal with them, whether housing, home, mortgages and stuff. So, okay, as long as, it wasn't our decision. Okay, that's cool.
No, it wasn't. Julie
can add some context here. Julie's hand is up. Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, exactly. I put my hand up just to add a little context here. So you're right. It was a national decision, not a WPFW decision. But if you think about it, folks, we have stations in the district, Texas, California, and New York. Plus, we have the affiliates network, which operates out of Iowa. That's where their office is. And so we needed a bank that would be able to operate in all of those states. And there just aren't very many. I mean, despite all the consolidation in banking and how many big banks there are, there were only two choices. And, the other option wasn't, sort of much better than Bank of America. And we already had a couple of accounts at Bank of America. The other thing that B of A does for us is it's allowing us to get a brokerage account so that if people make stock donations, we have an account that can accept that donation, right? I mean, not everybody has stock to donate, but, sometimes people do. And so, I'm with you, Sabu. Certainly, divesting from South Africa, so that it goes way back. I think some of their practices have changed. It's not perfect, but, there's a point at which, we were paying money, a lot of money, in ways that made it inefficient. And when our finances are as tight as they are, it just didn't make sense, to keep spending money on those other things. I mean, maybe someday we'll have the luxury of being able to, bank differently and vote with our feet. But right now, I don't think we have that option. Thanks.
Thank you, Julie.
I'd like to echo, if I may, echo what Julie said earlier. It makes a lot of the transfers that we have to do between WPFW and Pacifica internal banking transfers that cost us nothing, as opposed to wires and all that other stuff that we have to do between banks. It simplifies the process greatly.
Could I ask you to project just a little bit, Jerry? You're coming in pretty soft, and it'd be nice to be able to hear exactly what you're saying there. So.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, appreciate that. It's much better. All right, so if there are other questions, the next point, I'm sorry, let me just do a little quick cleanup on that last point. So what we're typically used to from management is a listing of the transactions during the month of December. We were not able to receive that, and Annette was not feeling well. The expectation is that this committee will receive that same information that we typically do in order for us to review that. So we'll be expecting that, Jerry, from you and your staff to make sure that we're able to get the exact same kind of detailed information, both on the transactions in December, as well as a full listing of the outstanding payables as of December 31st. All right. So those two things are kind of still pending.
Okay.
Based on the fact that you've had, just some staffing challenges, right?
Okay.
All right, the next point on our agenda is an update on the FY24 budget. And I'll start by saying we've kind of had this discussion kind of behind the scenes with myself, Executive Director, the National Office, Business Manager for the National Office, Markeisha, Julie. So we're all attempting to try and get a larger meeting Gary, with you, Annette, whoever else may have kind of touches the financial information, whoever's involved in the financial information, producing it, recording it, tracking it, and having us kind of sit down and really just go through it so we can get a solid budget. The budget presentation needs to be made to the National Finance, well, actually, I'm sorry, first, to this committee, secondly, to the LSB, and then to the National Finance Committee. And being on the National Finance Committee, there's a lot of back and forth about who's able to produce a budget, who's not. Is the budget something that's reasonable? Can it be substantiated by either history and or the transactions that have occurred, so on and so forth? So I say this to say to you, there's a lot more accountability and expectations in terms of what each station site is doing. And so this is going to call for us to really kind of rally as a group, get ourselves together, huddle up, and really formulate something that is able to be, you know, kind of hold up to the scrutiny of these larger committees. So more to come on that. There's a kind of a loose budget out there now, something that was put together that we can use as a kind of starting point, but there's got to be, you know, something that can stand the test of some of the other treasurers and some of the other, really the other members of Pacifica. All right, so there's more to come on that. With that, my next point is about goal setting for this committee in FY24. And one of the things I was thinking about, I wanted to bring to this committee, is the idea of a break even. I think a lot of us here kind of understand what we mean by break even. I'll kind of quickly talk about it, and then I want to stress what it means to kind of tabulate or formulate a break even, and why, to me, I feel like it's very important for us to be able to understand what the break even point is for this station, and why kind of looking at a budget, looking at the break even on a regular basis allows us to kind of pull a lever here and there. Break even means this simply: whatever the minimum expense or cost that it takes to run the station versus what revenues have to be brought in to essentially pay for those costs. And when you get to zero, you can safely say, and especially as a nonprofit, okay, at least we're not losing money, right? And so that break-even point, understanding what it means, allows us to then say, maybe in December, oh, okay, we had our fund drive. In order for us to break even, we've got to make X amount of dollars in the next 6-8 months. If we don't, then we'll be behind, so on and so forth. So it's kind of a way to manage what we're doing as a station. And what I would like to do, and one of the goals for this committee, maybe for the year, as we get to fiscal 25, we're in 24 now, as we get to fiscal 25, to really start to build in what it takes to run this operation. What are the minimum requirements to run WPFW? We're talking about staffing. We're talking about rental agreements. We're talking about the tower rent. We're talking about any kind of insurance, so on and so forth. Begin to build that understanding, what those numbers are historically, have that available, and then say to ourselves, okay, as a group, as a PFW family, we've got to make a minimum amount of money each month, each year, in order to cover that. It's essentially a budget. Not very far off of a budget, but at least it allows us to kind of dig a little deeper, not just kind of guess and throw out averages, but really understand what's the minimum requirements to run the station. So I want to kind of set that tone, set that goal for us as a committee going forward. Any thoughts, any pushback, anybody feel like that's a noble idea.
A great idea.
Help me out. Go ahead.
The closest Jerry. Thing that we have.
Go ahead, Jerry. Go ahead.
The closest thing that we have to that is, you know, we've got our annual operating budget of $1.3 million, and we base our pledge drive goals on that annual figure. You know, so that's almost quarterly, basically. But if we could have a tighter running figure, it would help, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Essentially, though, where I'm coming from is not so much building in the revenue side first, but really doing a deep dive and understanding the minimum requirements for the cost. For example, what does it cost to have Wi-Fi in the office? That's a necessity in this day and age, right? So we would kind of understand that cost, the telephone cost, you know, all that. That goes into actually running and operating the station, not the up and above. You know, sometimes you may have a staff lunch or, you know, some kind of birthday lunch or somebody doing this. You know, that's not a necessity, right? So we would kind of carve that out. What this committee, I would hope, would want to understand is what is the bare minimum it's required to run the station? And then from there, if there's other things we'd like to do, just know that we have to make the money to do that. We have to make the extra money to actually cover those things up and above the minimum. I see Julie's hand is up. Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a noble idea, and I really like it, too. But the one point I was going to add was when Stephanie Wells first became the executive director of Pacifica, one of the things that she did was basically just took expenses and figured out, here's how much money we have to raise, or, you know, based on the number of days you're in pledge drive, here's how many dollars we have to raise every day of pledge drive. And so that's a quick and easy way to kind of figure out, are we running ahead or running behind, right? So, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, we have different numbers of listeners at different points in the day. So you can't, you know, take the amount and divide it by the number of hours we're in pledge drive and tell every programmer that they have to raise that amount of money. Cause that's an average amount, you know, and the programmers in the peak times need to raise more than that so that the programmers, you know, overnight, you know, it's okay that they raise less than that because fewer people are listening. So, you know, but it's really kind of like a nice thing that, you know, you can kind of figure out how are we doing in this pledge drive? Not just, you know, what's the percentage of time that we are through this drive and what percent of the overall goal have we made? But, you know, if what we need to do is raise $10,000 a day, you know, and again, there's a difference between weekend days and weekdays, but, you know, when the off-peak programmers understand what the overall costs are, I think it can, you know, help them nudge their goals forward a little bit, right? And that's the kind of thing that helps everybody. Thanks.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, it's a great analysis. You know, the income per day, per pledge drive day, excuse me, is important as well. You know, in these things, again, with this committee, I'm hoping as we provide this oversight, really it's harder to provide the oversight and provide support, right, without the information. You know, we kind of end up just floating out here in the atmosphere, you know, wondering what happened, wondering how can we help. Well, we probably need a little bit more information to support our moves, to support what we can do in terms of assisting whatever it is that, you know, the station management might need. From my vision, my standpoint is we have to be a little bit more, I'll give you a second, give me a second, Jerry. From our standpoint, my standpoint as a committee, we have to be a little bit more aggressive in the way, and maybe that's not the right word, but a little bit more vigilant about what it is that we're receiving, because the decision-making process, and I kind of asked you this earlier, Jerry, is based on information, right? You've got data, you've got the info, you're going in with the net and with your staff and saying, here's what we have to do, 1, 2, 3. Well, without us in the background understanding that, then it's harder for us to really pay attention. And I can sense a little bit of frustration in the committee members not being able to know what it is that's happening. You understand what I mean by that? So this is why we're trying to get a little bit closer to you all, not run the station, but get a little bit closer to you all to understand how things run, how it's managed, so then we can say, hey, look, here's where this committee can assist. Here's where maybe the LSB can fill in with additional support in terms of fundraising, so on and so forth. All right, so go ahead, Jerry, and I have a couple hands.
Yes, let me give you a critical piece of the puzzle that you absolutely should have and that this committee should be aware of. That is the tally page, the running tally page, which we have for every pledge drive. We are able to look at how we are doing overall and on a show-by-show basis in real time. So, Kamal, you should most definitely have access to that page.
Tally page, got it.
It's our primary tool at the station.
Yes. I got a couple hands. I see Minerva and then Tony. So go ahead, Minerva.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. And thank you, Jerry, for mentioning that tally page. That is one thing that at one point last year for a little while we had access to, but we no longer have that information. And I guess the idea that Kamal was talking about and that Julie mentioned that Stephanie had made the suggestion on, I just have to ask, how are the amounts identified for the different programmers, the morning versus the afternoon versus the night or overnight? I mean, that to me, it's, you hear people say, you know, how do they expect me to make these numbers? And there's no one listening to me, or there are people listening, but we don't get the numbers that maybe the weekend people would get. How are you able to figure those numbers? That's always been a curiosity for me, because, and are they considered realistic based on previous fund drives, or is it just numbers being put in place?
No, it's exactly that. All show goals are based on historic data. We pretty much have a good feel of what shows can and cannot generate. And we don't want to ever put the expectations so high that they're unreachable goals for our programmers. So we're pretty careful at where we put the goals, and they're based on historic data. How they've been doing in the past. And
okay.
I think we've been pretty good with that. Miyuki, if you're still on, are we tracking pretty well in terms of our expectations and how drives have been doing in terms of show data?
I'm not clear what you're asking, Jerry. You're asking whether or not, what are you asking, Jerry? I'm sorry.
Are we setting our goals realistically for the shows?
Absolutely. Sitari is actually a part savant about that. She's very good at trying to incorporate historic information, time of day, the show's being done, how long the show's been on air, all the different aspects of a particular show, and determine what that total amount should be. And she's very sensitive to the fact that she doesn't want to make it too overreaching so that folks don't get it and get discouraged. So she has to balance that out. She does a pretty strong job of that.
Okay. So we're in
thank
agreement
you.
There,
Minerva. Okay.
Thank you.
Tony Leon. Yep. Thank you, Minerva. Tony Leon, go ahead, sir.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. I've always wondered if the station has been able to project how much income comes in from sustainer pledges, since those pledges are spread out over 12 months. And if you've been able to project, make these projections, how accurate has it been, you know, and has it, and does it match or mirror your projected budget month by month?
I can't answer that for you, Tony. That's actually a Satalia question. We do look at our sustainers, and I think it tracks the rest of drive performance. Maybe the 85% figure applies there also.
85%. What is 85%?
In terms of fulfillment.
Okay, 85% fulfillment on sustainers. Okay.
Perhaps, not certain. But that's the accepted figure, industry-wide, actually. We've had issues with, I don't know what to call it, sustainer fall off, where we have people who have been sustainers change credit cards,
mm-hmm.
and they fall off. We do not have a active outreach strategy, you know, to keep up with credit cards. I don't know if that's even possible. But we do get enough people that call in to say, hey, my credit card, you know, was compromised. I had to get a different credit card. I'd like to renew my sustainer. Donation. That comes in not frequently, but occasionally.
Jerry, do you know what percentage of pledges are lump sum versus sustainer?
No, I do not. But I would say lump sum is the majority, just from what we see on the screen in real time. Sustainers key in, you know, red symbol, and I don't see them that often, so it looks like we get a lot of lump sum. But it's interesting because sustainers get tabulated right away. And if somebody says, I'm pledging $10 a month, that show gets credited with a $120 pledge.
Right.
Lightly problematic, but as long as we realize that it's a ebb and flow, we're okay. You know, just as, you know, Miyuki was asking for realistic drive totals, I don't quite have those yet because it always comes in. You know, I go into the station tomorrow, there will likely be some checks there. And then Annette has been under the weather, so hopefully by tomorrow we'll get caught up on the cash apps and the PayPal.
Okay,
just to say that it's always a bit of a flow.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Tony. Quick follow-up, Jerry. I've got a couple hands, but I'll put myself here real quick. So, understanding Tony's question, is there a way for a report to be run? And this is a takeaway for tonight, I think, if you could do this. Is there a way for a report to be run to say, hey, in our fiscal year 2023 that just ended in September 30th, we had X amount of dollars, not by donor, but just in total. We had $250,000 that came in by way of a sustainer pledge that lasted the entire year or whatever it did. It doesn't matter. But these people said they were going to be sustainers. They did it for X amount of period of time. Here's here's that number, and then here's the rest of it, whatever else it was. Is there something available to us in the Otis reporting or whatever Satara tracks that would tell us, hey, these are the sustainers that we received during the year? Do you know?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe we can just grab all the sustainer fields and do a summing and then have the total figure of sustainers. Now, it still begs the question of, is it sustainer pledges fulfilled that we're looking for, or overall sustainer pledges? Because there's two different figures. You know, I guess we'll start with sustainer pledges. How much was pledged?
And then
if we can go back and look at how much was actually received from sustainer. Good question, Tony.
All right, whatever way you think is best, you want to take the larger number first and then whittle it down to what actually hit.
Yes.
Came in cash, that'd be great. All right, got a couple hands. So, Julie, go ahead. I saw someone else, but it dropped off. Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, Minerva's hand was up, but I just wanted to shed a little more light, too, on, you know, this question about being able to figure out sustainers. So, we have in Pacifica software. It's called Allegiance. Not every station uses it. But it's, you know, donor management software, basically. And, what is good about we're behind in our Allegiance bill, and I think we're going to get caught up on the Allegiance bill before too terribly long here. And I think we'll be, once we do, we will then be able to do exactly the kind of thing that you're talking about. Because basically what you need to do in order to answer the kind of question you're asking, Tony, is you have to have donor management software that talks to your accounting software. In other words, when a sustainer makes a pledge, they say, you know, take $25 out of my checking account every month. And here's my checking account info, for example, right? And so that appears as as revenue, as a deposit in our checking account at some point. But if you had the donor management software that said, oh, when Julie said take that much money out of her account, here's her checking account number. And then it's like it knows that when that $25 comes in, that it's my money, that my donation. And so then it records as being a fulfilled pledge, right? And that's how you can really figure that sort of stuff out. So that's the thing that we need to do. Otis has software, you know, that is behind what the programmers use, and it's behind the, you know, the donate website that we've got where people can go in and put their credit card number in. But so the key there is then, you know, it's not that you're tracking people, but it's, you know, if you say, oh, here's their credit card number and we have it on file, then that also means that it's like when their donation comes in, we're like, aha, that's the credit card number. That means that's Lou Wolf's donation. Bam, Lou gets credit. And that's how we would know, oh, maybe here are the people that we need to follow up with, because although they made a sustainer pledge, you know, 6 months ago, it doesn't seem to be coming in, which probably means they changed the checking account or their credit card expired and we need new info. And so, you know, half the time I suspect the people who do that don't realize that's what's happened either. You know, like they mean to be donating money to WPFW and they just don't know that they no longer are. So, I mean, maybe they feel a little richer, you know, but, you know, I mean, so that's the kind of thing that we need to do. And I think we're only a small number of months away from being able to set that kind of system up. So, you know, knock on wood that that goes well. Thanks.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, thank you, Julie. All right. So more to come on the goal setting. I wanted to kind of lay that out as a starter here in the new year, trying to get us a little bit more focused on what it takes at a minimum, kind of alert management that our committee's concerned about, you know, us moving into the future. And in order for us to move into the future, it's really important that we know what it took to get us here in the first place, i.e. the minimum cost to run the organization. So I'm going to try and lay out a little bit of a template and suggest to members on this committee whether or not, if they're interested, to kind of go forward and kind of crunch some numbers as we move forward in these meetings as to what it is that it takes to kind of run the organization. I'm hoping that Jerry and his staff is on board for that process. And I think it'll really assist PFW and, of course, the larger Pacifica org to sustain itself and move on into the future. So more to come there. Any other questions? We're coming close to our final agenda point for the evening. Any further questions out of Jerry? Anything you'd like him to follow up on? Anything on your minds as we approach our larger LSB meeting this Wednesday? There's always information that you may or may not want to, you know, bring to our listening audience that will be available to us as well on Wednesday. Any members have anything they'd like to share or any other questions for Jerry?
Sabu to the stack.
Yes, sir. Yep. You got it.
Yeah. This is sort of off finances, but I know that you had was chair of the other committee and I know you had picked some dates, 15th and 29th, December the 6th and 20th, and January the 3rd, 17th and 24th. Have those meetings started taking place?
You're talking about the relocation committee?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let me get you on the I'm sorry. You and I talked about this. Yeah, let me get you on the email. I'll make sure to send that to you. The next one is going to be on the 17th this month. It'll be at 7:30 on that Wednesday. And for sure, I'll make sure you're looped into the cadence on that. Absolutely.
Appreciate that.
Yep. No problem. I apologize for that. And I'm glad you brought that up because one of the things that our committee or that committee is trying to do is trying to plan for relocation, which is very much a financial matter. So for those of us who come here each month, it would probably also be important to attend that meeting so we see the impact on the budget, impact on operations that the move is going to have. And one of the other things that's going to be important about relocation is raising the funds to do so. So there's a lot of that going on. Relocation and finance are pretty much joined at the hip. And so those who are coming here may want to also attend that. So I'll make sure those are posted as well. All right.
Okay.
Anything else? Yep. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it, Sabu. All right. With that said, then I will see hopefully each of you virtually on Wednesday evening at our LSB meeting, 6:30 kickoff. And appreciate everybody's support tonight and the questions. Thank you, Jerry. Let's make sure we get those details, though. Can you let Annette know that we still need that formal detailed transaction for December, as well as that formal list of outstanding payables?
Yes, sir. I'll be in touch with her first thing tomorrow.
All right. All right. With that said, thank you all. Have a great evening.
All right. Take it easy.
Thank you.
Right, take care. Yep.
Thank you. Good night, all.
Good night.
Hey, Eileen, I think you have to end the meeting for me if you can. Are you able to do that?